It's always an honor to minister on Mother's Day. And when I look out into the audience, what I see is a group of women that are God's leading ladies. Each and every one of you, wherever you're at in your stage of life, if you're a mother, if you've been an honorary mom, if you've stepped in, you're that aunt that everybody loves, a daughter, a sister, a friend. God loves you and He cherishes you. You are His leading lady. And God created you for such a time as this. And this morning, during today's message, and this is a message not just for women, this is a message for all of us. I'm extremely excited for this word. The title of my message is Seeds Are for Planting. And I want to encourage each and every one of us to open your heart. We're going to pray here in just a second, but allow the Lord to open your heart because God has a word for you today. When we come here into church, we come here because we want to hear a word from the Lord, because we want to worship the Lord together collectively and praise His holy name. And if you're like me, I want to walk out of here changed, transformed by the power of God. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand on your feet as we go to the Lord in prayer today. We dive into His word. There are pieces to this message, and you say, okay, that piece was just for me. That's right. That's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to grab that piece just for you. And as the word is spoken, it's going to be a seed that is planted deep in your heart, and we're going to see a harvest from it today in Jesus' name. We're in a growth series. We're in a family series. It's one of my favorite series because why? God loves family. This is an institution that He put into place. He put in two institutions. He put in the church and He put in family, marriage and family. What is the enemy always attacking? The church and marriage and family. But God always has a battle plan, and He has a word in season for us today. So Heavenly Father, we come to You in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank You that You're softening hearts this morning. Lord, I thank You that our eyes are open and that our ears are open to the word of God. Lord, I thank You that today we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, as this word is spoken, it shall not return back void. It will accomplish and prosper that for which it was sent to do. I come against every foul lie from the wicked one, every distraction, every discouragement and disappointment that's tried to keep us down and defeated, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And I thank You, Lord, that today we're raising a standard. Lord, that we're planting our victory banner, and we're waving it high for all to see that Jesus, You are Lord. Now, Lord, I speak a blessing over every family in this house, over every person, Lord, that is here to draw from You, every person that is watching online. God, that today, Lord, seeds will be planted and a harvest will be reaped. Lord, we thank You and we praise You. We magnify You, Lord Jesus. And in Jesus' name we all said, amen, amen. All right, y'all can have a seat. So I asked my husband to build me a planter box for this morning's message. He calls me up and he says, well, got a little carried away. And I'm going to turn this into your Mother's Day present. It ended up being a little more expensive than what I thought. I go, okay, let me see it. So he's FaceTiming me and he turns the camera around and this is it. This was the tiny planter box that I needed for today's message. Now, I'm extremely excited because I did need a new garden box and this is beautiful. I love you. Thank you. You know what, Trail at Church, we go big, all right? Throughout today's message, I want you to look at this as your life. That this garden box, that this is you. I like to put myself into the story. Whenever I read a book, I'm an avid reader. I like to get myself right in there. I want you to put yourself into this message today, that this is your life. He actually filled this with soil. This thing is heavy. It's got good soil in here, good ground on the inside of this. So seeds are for planting. A few years ago, I think about 5 years to be exact, I decided to start my first garden. We had a man at the church give us some seeds. He was a farmer, and he gave us all these bags of seeds. And he goes, okay, here are several bags of seeds. He goes, they're peppers. I think there's jalapeno peppers. I'm not sure, but there's some peppers, you know, in this bag. And I was like, okay, that's great. So I'm planting doing my thing. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it, right? First-time gardener. I do not have much of a green thumb, but I thoroughly enjoy watching things grow. Anyone else like that in here? I mean, I just love it, and I'm growing in it. My lovely friend Marissa has helped me out tremendously. Thankful for people that know how to garden, right? They're a blessing. So we have all of these pepper plants. This was a good summer for peppers. We were thrilled. My kids are excited. We're super pumped. Well, there was one pepper plant that I didn't know what it was. It's like, oh, this looks like a good pepper. I think it's ready. You guys, I'm going to take it off. I'm going to slice it up. We're going to try this pepper. I cut up, unbeknownst to me or my family, a Carolina Reaper and feed it to two of my children. I had no idea. Didn't think to Google what it looked like. I just thought, oh, some kind of jalapeno, some kind of chili pepper. I put no thought into it. I slice up a Carolina Reaper pepper, give it to Cohen and Carly. I'm passing out glasses of milk. Their lips are bright red. I mean, we are burning on fire. Mom of the Year award right there. So then I Googled the pepper, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Well, I'm the worst mom ever. You know, you have those moments. You're like, how in the world did I just give my child one of the hottest peppers, in the world? And why is it here in North Carolina? Josh and I, we were just totally unfamiliar with this. You see, every day we are sowing seeds. There is purposeful planting in our lives. Now, that was not purposeful. That was unintentional. That was on me. I didn't really understand, nor did I even ask anyone. And I really want you to grab a hold today of you have a purpose in this life to sow seeds that have a purpose in your own life and to someone else. Whether it's your children or your family and your marriage, those that you're working with. Now, there are biblical laws that have been placed that in action, that this is the truth. We know based upon the seeds that you sow, that's what you will grow. There's no getting around it. God placed the law of seed time and harvest in the very beginning. Seed time and harvest is God's method. We find this in Genesis chapter 1. Starting in verse 11 and 12, I'm going to read through these scriptures quickly. I want to get a quick foundation here. He said, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. This is how God has began to place this law in motion. If we would go to Genesis chapter 8, you also see that he made a law that seed time and harvest will remain. As long as the earth is spinning, seed time and harvest will remain. And then if we turn to Mark chapter 4, you can go ahead and turn your Bibles there. I want us to get an idea of what this looks like in our life. In Mark chapter 4, you're very familiar with the parable of the sower explained and the parable of the growing seed. But this is where we get an idea of spiritually what seed time and harvest look like. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts it in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, we read here what it says that Jesus said, we are the ones planting the seed. That seed goes into the heart, and there it begins to grow and produce. Now in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 13 through 20, it shows us that the heart of the man is the soil or the ground. Okay, so Jesus, the Lord has provided the seed, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh, and then we see the soil. So here we are, and our heart is the soil. That's why when we go into this, when he talks about having good ground, this is your heart that's receiving the word of the Lord. That our hearts are prepared. That we're coming in and we're pulling out what doesn't need to be in there. We have a heart that's ready to receive every good gift that the Lord has. Today, there are some of you that you recognize in this message, oh, the soil of my heart is not prepared to receive. Possibly you've got unforgiveness. There have been past hurts, or maybe you're in a place of you've fallen away from the Lord and you just don't feel very close to Him. This is where we get in and we examine our hearts and ask the Lord to come in and to do a work on the inside of us. It is very valuable that you guard your heart. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, it's the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The seed that God is giving us, that we are sowing by the Spirit into the Spirit, will produce life from the very Spirit of God into us. But we've got to recognize that we have some intentional sowing to take place. That we've got to guard our heart from the wicked one. This is one of my favorite sets of scripture found in Proverbs 20 through 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. You've got to guard your heart from the lies of the wicked one. You've got to guard your heart from disappointments and hurt, from the enemy trying to bring up condemnation and shame. Because the Lord has seed for you to sow. Because the Lord wants to sow good seed into your life so that it'll grow and produce a harvest in you and your family and those around you. So we first begin, before we can even get into this, and recognize, Lord, I need to guard my heart. Man, I've battled some disappointments. I've gone through some challenging things. The enemy's coming up and telling you all sorts of evil lies. What does he say? To keep his word in the midst of your heart. That we look to Jesus. Are you looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith? Are you clinging to him? Has the Lord done something great in your life? The enemy's trying to come in and steal it. You need to cling to that word that the Lord has given you. Cling to what God has been speaking in your life. And so today I'm going to be talking about the incorruptible seed. Today is not a day to get into corruptible seeds. We all could talk about that all day long of our everyday lives. But we have the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. It never ages. It cannot decay. It is imperishable. My inner man is born of the incorruptible seed. So though my spirit, even though it develops, it does not die. My spirit man will never die. Glory to God. Hey, that's good news. Right? We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body, but your spirit man is the real you. And God is calling us to sow from our spirit, spiritual seed into our family, into those around us. And this spiritual seed is incorruptible. It is seed that will never die. It is eternal seed that is everlasting from generation to generation. So today, what we're talking about, this seed that we're sowing, is seed that you are sowing into your children that will reap a harvest with their children and their children's children from generations to come. Glory to God. It's time that we wake up and begin to sow from the Spirit so that we can see a spiritual harvest in the kingdom of God. So I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to find ourselves there today for a good bit. I encourage you to read this entire chapter this week. I'm going to first read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 in the NKJV. It says, so since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again. Aren't you so thankful that you have been born again? Glory to God. I should have gotten a greater amen out of that one right there. I guess we're all going to get saved after this here in just a second. Are you excited that you've been born again? Yes. Amen. Glory to God. He said, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower fails away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. The word of the Lord endures forever. Our first seed that we're planting is a seed of salvation. The greatest gift that you will ever receive in your life is the free gift of salvation. It's the greatest miracle. It's the greatest gift that you can hand down to your children of encouraging them to give their lives to the Lord. This is the greatest gift that you can share with your roommates, your coworkers, every single person that you come in contact with. And this is where this begins, planting an internal seed of salvation where you are continually talking about and drawing from the well of salvation, the very goodness of who God is in your life, that Jesus paid for it all so that you could have life and life worth living. This is an eternal plan through Christ Jesus. The word of God, the incorruptible seed. You now are a child of God. This is where we begin to pray out the plans and the purposes of the Lord for our kids. Lord, I thank you for my children, that they are running towards their God-given calling. Lord, I thank you that they hear your voice. Heavenly Father, I thank you that their hearts are turned to you, that you have a mighty plan for their life. Lord Jesus, that they call upon your name, that they look to you. Lord, that you are the one that's come in and you know exactly who they are. You created them in this day, in this time, to do a mighty work for the kingdom of God. That this is what I'm ministering under my kids. That they shall be saved. That this generation shall be saved. And that the seed of salvation that's been sown, every single one of us that have given our heart to the Lord, someone sowed a seed of salvation into your life. And that seed has produced a harvest as you live for Jesus. And it's my encouragement to each and every one of you that you begin to sow this seed into someone else. What I so love about salvation in the word of God is that God, well, one, it's the foundation by which everything grows, right? This is the very foundation, Jesus and your kids and your marriage, praying out increase and blessings. It all comes from, do you know Jesus? Have you made him Lord over your life? Is he your Savior? Are you living for him? In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, says that God has set eternity in the heart of man. He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity, or a sense of divine purpose, in the human heart. It's a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out or comprehend, grasp what God has done, his overall plan, from the beginning to the end. Each and every one of us, God has planted a seed of divine eternity into your heart. You say, well, I know people that don't even, they don't know God and they don't want to know God. It doesn't matter what they say or what they say they know or what they don't know. God has still planted a divine plan for them. If you have children that are far from God this morning, I tell you what, we're taking back that ground today in Jesus' name. If you have family members that are far from God this morning, you're going in and you say, oh no, devil, I'm putting on my gospel shoes of peace. Mine have spikes on them. And I'm marching, speaking the word, not allowing the enemy to steal the peace of knowing that God has a divine and eternal plan for their life. Amen. Then the second seed we're going to sow this morning, we're going to plant seeds of righteousness. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. The very nature of God and the work of Christ Jesus on the inside of you. You are right standing in God through Christ Jesus. This is the next to salvation, the greatest gift that my parents of seed that they sowed into my life. That I am secure in Christ, that there is no guilt or shame in Christ Jesus, that my identity is found in him. There's no confusion when you begin to plant seeds of righteousness. Hallelujah. That I don't operate from a sin nature or a sin consciousness. No, I'm a daughter of the Most High God. God hears my prayers. I can have a relationship with him. God is continually ministering to my heart. God loves me. God is for me. God is not against me. He has fully equipped me and given me every single thing that I need to live effectively as a child of God in the kingdom of God. Glory to God. I'm standing in God through Christ, and my character and my attitude and my actions through my words. Proverbs 15:9 in the Amplified says, "The way of life of the wicked is hateful and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. But he loves one who pursues righteousness, personal integrity, moral courage, and honorable character." Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 in the Amplified says, "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness," or his way of doing and being right, "the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also." All of those things that you are concerned about in life, all of those things where you think, "Lord, how is this going to happen and how are we going to do this?" He says that whenever we seek and sow seeds of righteousness, of moral integrity, of his character, his attitude of honor before the Lord, that he's going to come in and all of these things that we need will be added unto us. This is training ground. You know what I love about God's seed? It's an endless supply. He's the one that provides the seed. So it keeps coming, it keeps coming, and coming, and coming. He continually gives you everything that you need. That's how beautiful the seed is that's being sown. I want to talk about righteousness. This is training ground. It means you got to be battle ready, right? So we put on our breastplate of righteousness. What does that guard? It guards your heart. We've been talking about guarding our heart already this morning. So then when your heart is being guarded, you recognize, oh no, my heart is secure in Christ. He has made all things new. You don't have to live in past hurts, past disappointments, or shame. You begin to see yourself as Jesus sees you, righteous in his sight. Amen? Holy before the Lord, worthy, worthy before God. There are so many moms that you feel unworthy. The blood of Jesus has made you worthy. The blood of Jesus has come in and washed you whiter than snow and made you worthy to parent your children godly. To be godly before him. So in training ground, what you sow, right? We know we will reap. If you sow honor, what are you going to reap? That's exactly right. You're going to reap honor. If your children are not honoring you, this is where you train them through the word about biblical honor. You all, training is not always easy. We know that. It's extremely challenging. If you've ever trained for anything in your life, you know it hurts. Goodness, just the stretching before you begin training hurts. But I love what the word of the Lord says about training our children. In Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. And when he is old, he will not depart from it." Going back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, I'm going to read this in the NLT because it goes right along with this. Because some of you right now, you could be in a challenging season of training your children. We have four kids. Every day is a season of training our children. It is. And I have to continually remind myself through the word of God of who I am in Christ Jesus and the seeds of righteousness that are being sown. You see, you can't give anything. You can't give someone something you yourself have yet to receive. So I first had to receive salvation in order to sow that seed into someone else. I first have to receive seeds of righteousness into my own life reminding Anna who she is in Christ, continually combating the lies of the enemy, right? It's an everyday process. None of us are exempt. That God is using me. And even when it doesn't look like it, you know, when you're training, it's not like you start day one and boom, you got all these big muscles. Or you can go run your 5K. It takes some time. It takes time to train our children. It takes effort. It takes knowing which seed you're planting, not giving them a ghost pepper. Or a Carolina Reaper. Lord, what was it now? Carolina Reaper. Are they the same thing? No. Okay. I clearly have yet to learn my peppers. But it's an intentional planting. Planting before the Lord. Of sowing into the Spirit. This is going to come through prayer. I can't tell you how many times I've gone in my children's room when they've not been there. And I have laid on their bed. And covered them in prayer. I can't tell you how many times at night when all chaos, when they were younger, I would put on a worship song and just stand in the hallway like this, have like a 1980s flick moment, you know, and just begin to worship the Lord while all chaos is breaking out to show them we're changing the atmosphere in this house to one of praise and thanksgiving. I can't tell you how many times I've missed it. Josh is the salt, I'm the pepper. So if anyone's getting spicy in the house, we all know it's me. And I'll look at them and I'll say, I am so sorry. I should not have raised my voice at you. It was not godly and it was not his best and I love you. But do not provoke me. I look at my boys, I will take you down. I have grown mama strength. I will take you out. For the rest of your life. And I love you. But it's training time. God has a, do you know the Lord has a Holy Spirit strategy for how to train your children through the Word of God? If you ask him for it, he will give you that strategy. Joshua and I, one of our children, he is amazing and a wonderful, mighty young man of God. He has been challenging to discipline. And I'll take his age over the age of 3 anytime. His age now, woo, we made it. We're getting there, you know. We're moving up. I can't tell you how many times we had to come together and pray and ask for a Holy Spirit-led strategy on how to discipline him according to the word. And then we'd stick to it. Okay, we're going to do this. Lord, thank you for this strategy. And it would take some time. But bless God, we'd get through that challenging season. It would take time. One of my sons, he'd battled some anxiety. And I said, Lord, what is the root of what's going on? He would bust out of the Cinema Children's Church and run down the sidewalk. Like he didn't know none of y'all, like we weren't the pastors. He'd come running in. I'd be like, oh, sweet Lord Almighty. What are you doing? We had to pray for a Holy Spirit-led strategy. And truly go to battle in prayer and remind him who he was in Christ Jesus. And I asked the Lord for the root of it. And you know, God revealed that root to me. And then we were able to come in and God gave us specific words of security to bring to him during a very challenging time. Did it happen overnight? No, it didn't. It took time to grow. But I'm so thankful that the Lord gave me what I needed. And then this was a spiritual battle in his life. And it was a spiritual battle in our life. And God has helped us to walk through these battles and has given us a battle plan so that we could sow seeds of righteousness, of integrity, of honor, of godliness, of our children. That's my prayer for them to know who they are in Christ Jesus. So then when the lies of the enemy come up or they're at school and someone tries to come and tell them who they're not, right on the inside will rise up. Oh no, I'm a son of the Most High God. Or I'm a daughter of the Most High God and my price is far above rubies. And I have a Heavenly Father who loves me, who is for me. And I'm going to tell you right now, my parents, they wanted me to get filled with the Holy Ghost so I could have Holy Ghost power going through school. You need to believe God for your kids to get baptized in the Holy Spirit Because what does the Holy Spirit do? He comes along and he encourages them and he convicts them from sin and he confirms the very power, the work, and the word of Jesus Christ on the inside of them. I was dating a guy I was not allowed to date when I was 14 years old, sneaking behind my parents' back. He was 18. It was a no-no in the Huffman household, and I knew it. I just answered the call of God upon my life. We had a missions conference at my dad's church. I'm a PK. And they were one of my favorite conferences, all of these missionaries from around the world. I wanted to be a missionary for the longest time, but they would come in for this huge conference, and that night, the minister speaking, he said, if you feel that you are called to the ministry, I want you to come down. And they had all these missionaries up front and two beautiful missionaries from India. I went right to them and they prayed with me. Oh man, and the power of God just rested upon me, ministered to me of this is it. This is it. You are called. You have been chosen to minister the gospel. I step out and, you know, it's still real world. I'm 14. The enemy has strategic plans against your children. So I start dating this guy. It is by the grace of God that my dad, my parents praying, sowing seeds of righteousness. You see, back then we had AOL. We had two phone lines at my house. And I had a phone that was a giant killer whale in this wave. And when it would ring, it would make like whale sounds. And I would take my cord and I would plug it into the AOL, like the other phone line, to talk to this guy on the phone. That night, the Holy Spirit told my dad to click in. So any of you remember when you were on the phone and you heard someone else get on the phone? Click. Oh, somebody's on the line. He said, Anna? I'm going to need you to get off that phone right now. All right. Yes, sir. Oh, I knew it. Now it was done. It was done. My dad came in. My dad is an intimidating man. He's a loving and kind man, but he is, I'll just say, he's scary as all get out. And you know what he did? He came in and he sowed seeds of righteousness. He said, I want to remind you who you are. That you have answered God's call upon your life. And he said, there's going to be, he's very blunt. He's done a lot of counseling. He's been a pastor my entire life. He travels full time now. But he said, a lot of your friends are going to mess up this year. They're going to be intimate with their boyfriends. You have chosen to save yourself for marriage. If you continue down this path, you will find yourself in that same plan. And that is not God's plan for your life. You are going to have to make a decision right now to follow the plan of the Lord. I didn't get in trouble. I didn't get yelled at. He just gave me Jesus and reminded me the seed that's already been planted. And I just looked at him and I remember the Holy Spirit just ministering to my heart. That week, I broke up with that guy. I took the next year, went on a missions trip to Haiti, poured myself into my youth group, did everything I could just to press in. And to knowing, God, you've got a better plan for my life. I was so thankful. It's valuable to sow seeds of righteousness, and seeds in the Spirit to reap a harvest in the Spirit of God. My third seed is planting seeds of holiness. Living a life dedicated to the Lord. Oh, I didn't read that 1 Peter, did I? 1 Peter 6 through 9, I want to read this. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. As you go through training and trials and fire, the perfecting of your faith is far greater than any trial or fire that you're going through now. And Jesus will be glorified. Amen. All right, seeds of holiness. Living a life dedicated to the Lord, separated unto the Lord for his purpose and his plan for his glory and your good. This is truly a testimony of who Jesus is in your life. I asked my mom, we were with my parents yesterday and the day before. I said, Mom, whenever I say the word holiness, what do you think of? And she said, no compromise. No compromise. We need to sow seeds of holiness into our children. But you're going to have to first recognize you've got to sow seeds of holiness into your life. I don't know why we're walking around expecting them to be holy, and then half the church is running around doing whatever the crud they think they want to do. Just doesn't add up to me. At some point, we're going to have to wake up and recognize that we've been saved and set free, set apart, consecrated, separated by God for a holy work. I'm going to give you scripture. 1 Peter 1, 1 through 2, then I'm going to read 13 through 21. Buckle your seatbelts. This is good. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people. Are you God's chosen people? Yes. All right, that's good. He said, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. Woo, aren't you glad you don't have to do it all alone? That it's by the Spirit of God that he has made you holy. Some of you, you look at your life and you're like, oh, and I can't do this. I can't live that way. You don't even know what I did last night. It's the Spirit of God that will strengthen you and make you holy. He said, as a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe today your reminder is that you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Verse 13, so prepare your minds. Where do we begin our preparation at? In our thought process. For action and exercise self-control. I always find it interesting that self-control is the last fruit of the Spirit mentioned. It's like you go through all the fruits and he's like, self-control. It's going to wrap everything up. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your own ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father whom you pray has no favorites. That should make somebody feel good in here this morning. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. We're a temporary resident. Remember, we're sowing eternal seeds. For you know that God has paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It's the precious blood of Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. You are holy because he is holy. The blood of Jesus has washed you and cleansed you. You are consecrated, set apart. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to live holy. You just got to get in the Word. And the Word will teach you on how to live for Christ Jesus as a disciple of God. And as you sow seeds of holiness, not wickedness, not strife, not contention, not sin and lust, as you begin to sow these beautiful seeds of holiness in your life, you're going to see a turnaround. Some of you all, it's time to cut some things out. And you're wondering why your children are talking the way they are or watching the things the way they are. It's a hard thing to talk about. But we have got to begin to sow seeds of holiness and to be a church. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. That we look different than the world. That we truly have consecrated and we say, no compromise. As for me and my house, we will live for the Lord. What I love about this seed that's being planted, and I love the very last line of that scripture, it says, love each other deeply with all of your heart. You see, we begin to plant the seed that God gives us, but then we can pray for God to send others to water the seed. Each and every one of us are in this together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 6 through 8, I love this set of scripture. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, I planted, this is Paul ministering, Apollos watered, but God all the while was causing the growth. So neither is the one who plants nor the one who waters anything, but only God who causes the growth. You'll know that that takes the pressure right off of us. He who plants and he who waters are one in importance and esteem, working toward the same purpose. But each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We have Paul, an apostle, and Apollos, a teacher. And we see Paul saying, I planted, but Apollos came in and he watered. But God is the one adding the increase all the time. I pray for God to send mighty men and women to come in and water the word that I've been sowing into my children. I've been praying, Lord, where we go, we will grow. Send us places that we can grow, that other ministers will come in. My kids were their pastors and their parents. I've been their children's pastor, their youth pastor. I've been every pastor under the sun to them. And I'm thankful they receive from us, but I'm so thankful that God comes in and brings other people to water the seed. And then God is the one that gets the glory, and he adds all the increase. I'm thankful for the seed sown in my life. I remember after I had graduated from Bible college and I'm full-time children's pastor back in Huntington, West Virginia. And to be quite frank, I was just lonely. I left Bible college and all my great friends. My office, for some reason, was all by itself on the second floor, far away from anyone. And if you know me, I don't do well alone like that. I got to talk to somebody, anybody. All day long. So funny story, I ended up going out. It was one of Joshua's old roommates. Joshua and I were friends at the time. And I met this guy who was going to Marshall University that year. And we started dating. And even on the inside, I knew he's a super nice guy, but we should have just stayed friends. Should have never dated him. So I'm visiting Oklahoma, the Bible college I went to, and I go to one of my instructors, and I'm kind of telling her what's going on, and she says, are you dating anyone? I said, yes, and told her what was happening. She goes, what are you doing? And it was someone I valued and I trusted, that she was coming in and watering seed that my parents had already sown. She said, this is not God's best, and you know it. I broke up with him, and within a month, Joshua and I began dating. God opened the door for my future husband to come into my life as my future husband. I was so thankful that she watered the seed that had been sown. God has called each of us to be waterers of the word, to be encouragers to others, their family, if you're single, to your single friends, if you're married, to your spouse, to your children, to other people's children, to those in this church. We are to come in and to simply be waterers of the seed that's already being sown. So why? So God can add the increase. Is it an endless supply of water? Oh yeah. There's a stream flowing down from heaven. It's an endless supply of water. I'm so thankful. You know, often whenever we sow as a mother, it's not exactly what we thought it would look like. I'd like if you were to turn your Bibles to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, this is a scripture a lot of us know. And I knew I was supposed to put this set of scripture in this message. In verse 5 and 6, it says, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now this is the end of the chapter. In the beginning of the chapter, it says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. But whenever you read that first part, you recognize that before God brought them in, they had been sowing in tears. Often what it looks like as a mother is that we sow in tears and then we reap in joy. But what I want you to look about this passage is that as we're coming in and we're sowing in tears, this isn't a place of sorrow. This is a, you have been enduring and have perseverance. And on those tough days, whenever you're not seeing what's happening, you're just crying out before God. I can't tell you how many times that I have cried out before God with my children. Lord, I thank you that they hear you. I thank you, Lord. Or even before I had children, I was crying out, Lord, bless my womb. Sowing in tears from that place of captivity, from that place of needing to be free. And he says that they reap with joy. That often when we do this, the enemy will try to come in and say, oh man, and discourage you with what that looks like. I love in Psalm 126, he says, you guard that bag of seed with everything that you have. You don't allow the enemy to come in and steal your seed that you've been planting for your kids. And then when he talks about bring back our captivity as the streams in the south, that actually is talking about a flash flood or a mighty work. Some of y'all need a flash flood in your life right now to come in and clean it all out. And to clean it all up. You've been sowing tears of faith. You've been sowing and crying out to the Lord. And bless God, it's time for a flood of his presence to come in and wash away all the debris, to come in and to make a stream in the desert. Hallelujah. And a place of freedom and joy and restoration. There are many women in the Word of God that sowed in tears that did reap a harvest of joy. Sown tears and faith and obedience in prayer. Exodus chapter 2, we have Jochebed, Moses' mom. Just imagine her putting that. She said that her son, he was the best looking boy that she had ever seen. Placing him in that basket and putting him down the river. Knowing that that was her only option and what her son would become. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we all know Hannah crying out to God from a place. She'd been taunted. She had felt alone and isolated, shamed. And the Lord blessed her with Samuel, a mighty man of God. We see in Genesis 4:25, a woman we don't often talk about, but Eve. God giving her another son. The Word of God actually calls him a seed after losing Abel. That God blessed her with another child after going through something so tragic. We see in 2 Samuel chapters 11 through 12, Bathsheba. From heartbreak to restoration. God restoring her with Solomon. And her son becoming one of Israel's greatest kings. Israel's greatest king who is in the lineage of Jesus. Women that sowed in tears and reaped a harvest of joy. That often when you see this, I don't want you to be discouraged if you've been in that place, because God has a harvest for you. Amen. Our final scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. Go ahead and turn your Bibles there. If the worship band wants to come on out. Glory to God. I'm so thankful for who God is in my life. I'm so thankful for the word of the Lord, and that as he comes in, and I believe is giving each and every one of us a Holy Spirit strategic plan today in an area in our life that we needed it in order to grow. Galatians chapter 6, 6 through 10. Says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's what we've been talking about today, isn't it? And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. What often causes us to want to give up as a mom? Weariness. Have you ever just been so worn out, you think, Lord, I don't even know how I can take another step. Clean another toilet. Lord, I got three boys. Y'all... they clean their own bathroom now. Inner weariness will try to creep in to cause us to be utterly spiritless, to be faint, to be wearied out, to be exhausted. This is where God says we are to sow from the Spirit in order to reap from the Spirit. He says, don't grow weary in doing good, not in doing bad, but in doing good for the kingdom of God. You will reap if you do not give up. I'm here to remind you today that you're not a quitter, that you have the greater one living on the inside of you, that you are spiritually strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that the Holy Spirit has given you righteousness, peace, and joy, and he's refreshing you today to do all that God has called you to do, and that as you begin to sow through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, then you're going to reap that refreshing and reap that harvest, and you're going to see that joy just bubble out, and it's going to be supernatural. He's going to strengthen your bones. His grace will be sufficient. His mercies are new every morning. You see, as we do this, the result is always a harvest for the kingdom of God. And my greatest desire for my life is to bring God glory. It's for my life to bring God glory. And for my children to grow in the things of God and to live as a world changer for Jesus. And I'm going to sow seeds from the incorruptible word that's going to reap an eternal harvest for the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Lord, I thank you for ministering to every heart in this place. I thank you, Father God, for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for a strategic plan for those that need one this morning. Whether it be in parenting, whether it be in their marriage. Lord, that you are ministering to every heart of what it looks like to sow into the kingdom of God and to grow. This morning, I want to ask you if you've made Jesus Lord over your life, if you've prayed the prayer of salvation, or if today you came here and you say, Pastor Anna, I have never prayed the prayer of salvation and made Jesus Lord over my life. Well, today is the day of salvation, and today is the greatest day of your life. Because the Word of God said that God will come in and take out that old stony heart and put in a heart of flesh, that you'll become a new creation in Him. But He tells us that we are to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and to not be ashamed before man. That He'll come in and He makes all things new. So if that's you this morning, if you have never prayed the prayer of salvation and you would like to get saved today, I want you to go ahead and just lift up your hand. Just raise your hand in this place. Thank you. I see that hand raised. Thank you. Glory to God. If you've been far from Christ and you say, Pastor Ian, I just need to rededicate my life today. I need to come in and just allow Him. I need a flash flood of the love of Jesus to come in and just wash me, to get me back on track. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. See those hands? Praise God. Glory to God. We have multiple hands throughout this place, and I'm so thankful. I'm going to ask everyone to stand on their feet, and we're going to worship the Lord.